Hope everybody got a lesson. If you didn't, we can get you one. Amen. Is there anybody that did not get a lesson tonight that would like one? Amen. We'd be glad to get that one to you. Okay. Psalm 119. And then if you're there and you're physically able, would you stand as out of respect and reverence for the Word of God? And we're coming to a close here. We've got really two more lessons after this one here in Psalm 119, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet and 23 lessons for us. And trust me, I have an entire book on my shelf of about 400 pages just on Psalm 119. So we're just scratching the surface, amen. I trust you've been blessed and have a greater dependence upon the Word of God in your life. And boy, it is our rock, the Word of God. And just you can always trust it. It never goes bad. It never changes. Man changes it, but the Word of God never changes. Amen. And thank the Lord. Psalm 119, verses 153 to 160. And as is our custom, let's read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. You read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 160. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The title of our lesson tonight is Life's Minor Chord. Have you ever, those of you that maybe know music, I'll never forget listening to somebody and they were talking about the difference between major chords and minor chords. And he played Happy Birthday like we know it. Happy Birthday to you. And it was pleasant and happy, and then he instructed the pianist to play it in a minor key, and it was Happy Birthday to you, and it sounded like the funeral dirge. But you know, it's amazing. I have a book in my study called Dark Threads the Weaver Needs, about those. You take somebody like we've had Brother Mike Zachary here several times. Dr. Zachary will take the majors and the minors and make them all beautiful. You know, that's really what this lesson is about tonight. Life's minor chord is affliction. I don't know about you, I don't like to be afflicted. In any way, shape, or form, I do not like affliction. I don't like physical affliction. I don't like emotional affliction. I don't like mental affliction. I just don't like to be afflicted in myself. And I want to talk about that tonight. So we continued our study of Psalm 119, blank line there, following the Hebrew alphabet Kopf, K-O-P-H, with the psalmist whose unchanging circumstances caused him to engage in wholehearted prayer. Can I say this? That's sometimes the reason why God doesn't change our circumstances. He wants us to depend totally on Him. So, three bullet points there. We have the cry we looked at, verses 145 to 148. We have the calling. And God said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And the confession in verse 152 was simple. Concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, thou hast founded them forever. And that was the fact that God's word endures forever. Okay, so the psalmist, as he has so many times been, is again in affliction's valley, where persecution continues to play with and prey on, and that's P-R-E-Y, continues to play with and prey on his mind. Okay? However, he looks to and encourages himself in the Lord his God, as 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 says, and his word. You know, the devil will teach us in affliction, the last place for us to go is here. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? Amen. The last place to go, can I say this? It's like prayer. The cliche is, prayer shouldn't be a last resort. It should be a first response for the Christian. And I say it's the same with the Word of God. When we're in affliction, the devil say, you don't need to read that. That's when you need to read it. And I need to read it. We're going through difficulties and we can look to the Word of God. And that's exactly what happens to here. He looks to and encourages himself in the Lord and His Word. Roman numeral number one there, the assessment. I want you to read with me, if you would, just look at verses 153 through 156. We'll look at each of those. It says there, consider mine affliction and deliver me. And I like the fact that David says that here. He says, I'm being afflicted. Please help me. Because that is the natural response to affliction. Okay? So he says there, consider mine affliction, deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Now, you're in Psalm 118. I want you to back up probably just a page or two and look at a couple more verses here on affliction. Roman number one is the assessment. Well, he assesses the situation here. Look at verse 67 of Psalm 119. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Go down to verse 71. It says, and this, I'll tell you, this is one of those hard verses. It is good for me that I have been what? Afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And then down in verse 75, it says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast what? Afflicted me. So his number one here, his situation under the assessment there, his situation. He's in affliction's valley here, and obviously we'll talk about those that are constant. By the way, that's why there's a lot of people, and we've talked about this as we've studied this psalm. It's not ascribed to anybody, but this is why a lot of people think that David is the writer of this psalm, because David was always seemingly in affliction's valley between Saul, between Absalom, amen. Obviously what happened to him of his own doing. But here, the psalmist is in the affliction's valley, and the situation made him, two things here we'll look at. A, it made him more thoughtful in prayer. If you look at verse 153 there, it says, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy testimony, or thy law. One thing we see here is, under more thoughtful in prayer, it made him more open to God's inspection. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. There are many times where the psalmist pleaded his integrity. He said, look, you know me. Search me. Try me. See if there be any wicked way. He wasn't being boastful. He was saying, God, please inspect me. Inspect me. I was a final inspector for Pratt & Whitney Canada for aerospace. I could tell you this, that some of the inspections that we had to do were very intrusive on those parts. Really, the things that we had to do to them to make sure that when they got up in the air, that they were going to work properly. He says here, he's thoughtful in prayer in the idea of saying he's open to God's inspection. And I'll tell you something else. Secondly, he's certainly open to God's intervention. not only God's inspection, but God's intervention. That's verse 154 there. He said, plead my cause. Plead my cause. Tremendous verse. I mentioned one of them on Sunday. You know, we talked about not sinning and being dead to sin. Amen? As Christians, boy, we're supposed to shun sin. We're supposed to be dead to sin. It doesn't mean we'll never sin. Okay? But it means that we have that attitude. Our position is we're in Christ. We're seated already in heaven. And we should be dead to sin. But I mention this. If we stumble into sin, the Bible says we have an advocate. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. With the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. And the Bible says, in the cross reference we have there is Hebrews 7:25. It says this, that He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. You know what Jesus is doing on your behalf right now? He's interceding. And the devil's up there saying, He did this, and He did this, and He did this, and He did this, and the devil's probably right. And Jesus says, I shed my blood for them. And He intercedes for us. The Bible also tells us in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so this time, this assessment that he had here, his situation made him more thoughtful in prayer to God's inspection and then also to God's intervention. And then verse 55, he says there, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. It also makes him more thankful in prayer. That he has... So see, the wicked, they don't have anybody they can go to. It says, salvation's far from the wicked. I'm one of yours. I can call upon you. Well, we ought to be thankful for that. If you're in your Bible reading now, you're going through the Old Testament, and pretty soon you're going to hit what I call the brick wall of Exodus and Leviticus. The brick wall starts when they start building the tabernacle. How many of you know what I'm saying? And it was a cubit and a half here, and a cubit and a half there, and three pitchers of silver, and you're just going like this, amen. But I'll tell you what. The more you learn about that, the more you learn how much had to be done to cover the sins of the nation of Israel. That the high priest had to go in there, and he only went once a year, Hebrews tells us, and not without blood. And he went in, and you remember he had the rope and the bells tied on him there in case he wasn't right with God for his own sins. And he came before the very Holy of Holies there, and God smote him dead, and they had to pull him out by the rope. They couldn't go in and get him. And what did he do? He offered the blood for a propitiation for the sins of all mankind. Amen? But you know what? You know what you and I had to do? We just had to believe. Now, they had to believe. They were looking forward. But Jesus Christ, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And you know what happened that day that He died on the cross? That veil that separated the temple that was unmovable, it was torn from top to bottom by God Himself. And you know what we have now? We have access to the One who can intercede for us. He here says, you know what? I'm thankful in prayer. Salvation's far from the wicked. I know you're listening to me. You know, you say, I feel far from God at times. I know. But He's listening. And you're His child. I just tonight praying over there. Saying, God, you know, there are times I feel far from You. But I know what Your Word says. And I know what You did in my life. Amen? See, a pastor prays like that? I just confessed. Why? I read over and over and over about the psalmist. I read over and over about characters in the Bible that felt far from God. Hey, we ought to be thankful in prayer. Not only his situation, but verse 156, we see his Savior. His Savior. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me. He's depending here upon the mercy of his Savior to deliver him. And so we have two lines here. Very important. Probably the thrust of the lesson is this. And we have a few more points that we'll give you. But not all affliction in the lives of God's people is punishment. Not all affliction in the lives of God's people is punishment. Do we see that in the Old Testament? Do we see times where there's judgment for sin? Yes, absolutely. There's afflictions that are given. Do we see times where people misinterpreted affliction? Yes. Have you read the book of Job? Job had great friends until they started speaking. Well, maybe this is why this is happening to you. Job's friends are still alive. They populate churches. Amen. How about in the New Testament? Jesus talked about the man that had been born blind. And you know what they said to him? Hey, who sinned? Yep. Must have been his parents or him. Jesus said, no. No man did sin that he was born blind, but that the glory of God might be seen. Show you the glory of God. And so, this is very important to get the second line here. First line, not all affliction in the lives of God's people is punishment, but rather is graciously purposed by our Father. You have a blank line there. There's a cross reference I want you to write down. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Some of you know that and could quote it by heart. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I've mentioned so many times an author that I've really enjoyed over the last 3 years is a fellow named Richard Wurmbrand. I can't endorse everything he says. He's got some doctrinal things, but he's got it all straightened out now. He's been in heaven for 10 years, amen, so all the doctrine's good. But he was taken prisoner by the communists in Hungary in 1948. He did not see his family again until 1963. And God did a work in that man's life through affliction and difficulty that he could have never done in the sunshine of life. And so it's important, especially if you're in affliction, and I know some of you are. Some of you are. Be it emotional affliction or physical affliction. Listen to me. God is not punishing you. God is using that affliction to mold you and conform you into His image. Just a few more things here. Roman numeral number 2. We have the assailants in verse 157 and 158. Roman numeral number 1 is the assessment. Number 2 is the assailants. And that is, it says, many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. So, two things here he was troubled by. He was troubled by their attacks. Obviously, nobody likes to be attacked, particularly those that stand on the word of God, but it's going to happen. Or just reading in Proverbs the other day in my daily Bible reading, I mentioned trying to read 9 chapters every day, and I started in Genesis and in Proverbs and in Matthew and was going through Proverbs and just saw, I know I've seen this verse before, but just saw the most tremendous verse at the end of Proverbs 29. It says, an unjust man is an abomination to the just. Amen. But then it says this, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. And that's where we're living, isn't it? We're living in a day where we call evil good and good evil. But he was troubled. He was troubled by their attacks. But in the second verse there, he was also troubled by their attitude. What was their attitude? I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Earlier it said they have no regard. Their salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Here it says, I was grieved because they kept not thy word. Don't have any interest in the word of God. Number 3, the assessment, the assailants, the assurance. Verses 159 and 160. He says, consider how I love thy precepts. Can you say that tonight? You say, I truly love the Word of God. If you do, you'll be in it. You'll not be in it because you have to be. I sometimes come home and one of my boys will be doing what 6 and 7 year old boys do, playing. That's fine. That's okay. That's wonderful. Amen. But they'll be playing, and I know they did their school that day, and then they've been playing, and I'll say to my son Eric, I'll say, Eric, did you read your Bible today? He'll say, I forgot. And he did legitimately forget. He's 7 years old, amen. I wonder if I went to somebody that was 57 and said, did you read your Bible today? They wouldn't say, I forgot. They say, I just didn't. Can't say we love him if we're not listening to him. Come on. Amen. Not going to talk to him very much if we're not listening to him, not reading his word. So he says here, we see his devotion to God's word. The assurance was his devotion to God's word. And then verse 160, his discernment of God's word. Thy word is true. That's what he says. He looked at the word of God and he discerned this. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. He came to that discernment of the word of God that, hey, this is God's book, it's true, and it's going to last for all eternity. I better get busy doing what it says. Amen. When in affliction's valley, life's minor chord is affliction. But remember, not all affliction is punishment. God uses it to shape us and to conform us into His image. The Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 2 how Jesus was made perfect through suffering, through difficulty. God's got a better thing planned. Farther along, amen. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your blessings. Thank You that, Lord, You do take care of us. Even in affliction, even when we feel far from You, take care of us. Thank You, Father. Pray that You please bless our time now. May this lesson help someone draw close to You. We pray that You would please, Lord, bless this time now. We love You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.